your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to Lacrosse Talk PM. On a Tuesday, I'm Rick Solem. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line, which I should turn on so I can read your text. And I hope everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend. And probably a good Tuesday, too. It's been pretty nice out for anyone that, you know, has been able to enjoy the weather. A little warm out, actually. I stopped by a couple of bike shops today to see, kind of interested in getting a bike. I got that stimulus check now, so I'm going to blow that on a bicycle because I can't play basketball. I got to do something. And just where they're at, a lot of empty bike shelves, it seems like, a little bit. Quite a few open spaces. And interesting, talking to one of the salespeople at one of the bike shops downtown, they just said there's a lot of demand, but on the flip side, there's also the production of bikes overseas has been pretty low. So kind of getting it both ways there. Not seeing a lot of bikes flying off the shelves, maybe for the same reason I was looking for a bike, because I can't do anything else. And then production, because we're not making bikes too much in America, maybe. So on other news here, before we get to, I guess I could do that. Coming up on the show, veterinarian Gary Weigel at Thompson Animal Medical Center Veterinary Clinic. He's going to talk to us about what veterinarians have had to do through the pandemic. And I think we can get a couple of stories out of him. They've got a couple of cool animals down there. It's a veterinary clinic right on the south side, kind of right in front of Walmart. If you're looking at Walmart, it's just right on the road to the right a little bit. And they have a couple of funny animals that I've talked about in the past. But we'll talk to Gary just about, you know, what veterinarians have gone through this pandemic, and also maybe just being a veterinarian in general, because I know Gary pretty well and I know he doesn't really get a day off. So this is actually nice that he's going to come on and talk to us for a little bit. After that, we're going to talk to Dr. Wayne Botner, who has been described to me as the blood guy at Gunderson Health System, and he's the medical director of the blood bank, and just where we're at with blood and needing blood, not so much, you know, dissecting people's blood to see if it has the virus or not, but the fact that it's kind of been from what I talked to him beforehand, it's the blood banks have been on a little bit of a roller coaster, as they do roller coaster on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, they've been on a little bit of a roller coaster the last couple months, right? Couple weeks, couple months, just in terms of we need blood, we don't need blood, we have too much blood, now we don't have enough blood, states are reopening, hospitals reopening, stuff is happening more often. So we'll get to that interview too in a little bit. But if you check out wisdomnews.com, this has been just the last 24 hours, really. These four Minneapolis police officers have now been arrested after, and this video is awful in terms of, it's not so much like gory or anything like that. It's not a shooting. And if you go to wisdomnews.com, you can watch it. I turned it on and started watching it, and I knew what was going to happen. So as I heard the guy pleading for help, you know, if you haven't seen this, Minneapolis police officer kneeling on a black guy's neck, white officer, black guy, of course, right? And kneeling on his neck, and a bystander tapes the video. Are we taping videos? Takes the video, and the guy's like, "Hey, I can't breathe." And then I kind of stopped watching because I knew what happened after that, because the guy's dead. And these four officers have now been fired a day later, you know, maybe because of public outcry over this video. Like, again, we have a video, right? Like the same deal in Georgia with that kid running. And then, you know, what was it? Four guys jump out of a truck and shoot him. So now we have a police officer kneeling on this guy's neck. And the guy goes from "I can't breathe" to, you know, I jumped ahead just to see the reaction from the crowd a little bit. And the crowd's like, "Hey, he's not responding. What are you doing?" And it's just chilling to watch. And I don't recommend it. But also, if I mean, if you want to kind of feel that, that's where we're at. Now I'm just getting all weird feeling just thinking about it again. So, all right, I'm going to take a break. I got to reset. I'm going to bring my friend Gary Weigel on, veterinarian with Thompson Animal Medical Center, I should say. And we're going to talk about animals. It's my favorite thing to talk about. So if you got questions, text me in 608-785-7914. We could take some dog, cat, not even dog, cat, animal questions. You got questions? Hey, your dog's acting funny. Maybe we can stump the vet right here on Wizard. We'll be back. Here's Brad in the news. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. You got questions for a veterinarian right now if your cat, dog is acting up, 608-785-7914. We could do Ask a Vet with me now. Joining me, Gary Weigel, Thompson Animal Medical Center Veterinarian Clinic. How many vets you got over there, Gary?
We got three and a half, four people.
Three and a half. Wait a minute. You have a half a vet?
One's part-time.
And I was saying earlier in the show, the veterinary field is one that seems like, at least in this area, really in need. Yeah, you guys need a lot of vets because I don't think you get a day off very much, Gary.
No, there is a shortage of veterinarians coming away from the big cities, Madison, Milwaukee, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh area. So, yeah, there's a need in this area.
Okay, so it's just in this area, and then most people are going to the big cities? Is that what you're saying?
Well, probably not just in this area. Probably more rural. The rural areas are probably harder hit than even La Crosse area, but La Crosse, the smaller cities that don't have emergency centers.
Okay. Yeah, because you guys, and how does that work with if I have an emergency to go and I need a vet? I mean, you can go on your website, call your veterinary clinic number, but do you guys at different clinics work at different days of the week? Is that how that works?
So, yeah, each clinic has their own setup for emergency. Everybody's just a little bit different. So we see our own emergencies. Some will have another clinic to call. Everybody's got them different.
Okay, because you almost need a backup plan in case there was more than one emergency, I would say.
Well, I mean, we can see multiple emergencies at one time. So I think that it's important to have some sort of plan that if you have an emergency, you know who to call and where to go.
Sure. I just call your cell phone. That's what I do.
Yeah.
but I haven't had to do that, honestly. I've sent you some texts, but that was more of a skunk emergency a couple of times.
Yes, those happen a few times a year.
What would you say is the most, not so much an emergency, but the biggest call you get that, hey, is it something like my dog got hit by a skunk? What do I do? Or is it something more common than that?
Yeah, probably more common than that is my dog's been vomiting for the last 2 to 4 hours. What should I do? Do I have to be worried?
And you're usually, what's your answer to the calls like that?
Usually it's just kind of like us. It's probably maybe a little flu bug. Give it a little bit of time, and most of them do fine. So, but if it happens, it's always good to call someone just to make sure it doesn't need to be seen.
Sure. Yeah, Millie ate a rabbit the other day, and she did not puke that up. So I don't know what's going on there.
a good treat.
Yeah, right. She left the head, at least. Oh, I got it out of her mouth before she ate the head, I suppose. All right. So obviously we have this global pandemic going on and veterinarian clinics, like everything else, had to change how they did business. And can you just describe to me what you guys have done over the last 2 months in terms of getting the animals into the clinic and getting seen?
So, yeah. So we were restricted to what we could do by the governor and the law. And now that all that has changed a little bit, basically what we're doing is pretty much what everybody's doing is curbside. You come in, you call when you get there, we'll come out, take the pet, and then take the pet into the hospital, come back out and either talk to you initially or talk to you on the phone. It's probably the kind of a compromise between being in the clinic versus not seeing them at all.
Has that been difficult in terms of sometimes, bringing the animal into the, animals sometimes are always nervous coming into the clinic, and then it helps to have their owner coming in there too. I don't know. Has it been difficult just to that transition?
I mean, it's different for the pets. Yes, some pets do fine away, but others do fine with the owner. So yeah, I think it's probably more difficult for the pets than it is for us. I think for us, it's just the extra time that it takes to come out to the vehicle and take them into the clinic. We've got some that are holding off and waiting until this kind of settles down, and then they come in with their pets.
Yeah, that was my next question. You know, since the changeover, has business been, you know, severely down, a little bit down, kind of business as usual? You're just doing things different?
Yeah, probably. It's probably a little bit down, and we're just doing things different. I think quite a few are pushing off their wellness visits, their shots and things like that. They're not quite emergency, which is what they want us to do.
I think Gary's got a question here. Gary Podesky's calling in. Gary, you got a question for Gary Weigel?
Yes, yes. I'm curious, Doctor, why there's no vets in this area. You have to go to Madison to have hip surgery done on, it's prevalent with Ryabs, Golden Retrievers, and German Shepherds. I'm just curious why nobody in this area has decided to go into the hip surgery. I know they do tons of other types of surgeries, but none of them. Nobody in this area does hip replacement or surgery on hips. Is there a reason that you can, other than expense, to get the equipment and stuff? Is there a reason that no vets in this area do this?
Usually hip surgery requires not only equipment, but usually it's a specialist. You have to be an orthopedic specialist to do it. Unfortunately, La Crosse isn't big enough to handle one orthopedic specialist. That's the biggest reason.
Okay, it just seems that if there was one in this area, though, it wouldn't be just La Crosse. You'd have people coming from all over. Because I know right now, our dog's 11 and 3 months now, but when she was 6 months old, they didn't have to do a total hip replacement, but they put, like, door hinges on, do you know what I mean, that type of surgery, because she was less than a year. And she had to have that done on each hip. And it just seemed that there's so many people down at Madison and so many labs and stuff in this area that require surgery. It just seems that there would be a demand for it. But you would know, you're in the business, so I guess I won't argue with you.
In the past, Madison has looked at placing an emergency center up here and just seeing all emergencies. And they said it wasn't, La Crosse area is not big enough to even have a little emergency center alone versus specialized down into doing just orthopedics.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call. We're talking with veterinarian Gary Weigel at Thompson Animal Medical Center. Now, get back to the idea of you guys. Business has been a little bit slower, you said, but people are pushing stuff off. Is there stuff that's really important right now that people, hey, you've been pushing this off, but now you have to get this, summer's coming or spring is here, you know, the weather's changing. Are there really important things that people need to do for their, I guess probably dogs, but maybe other animals?
Well, for dogs and cats, I think rabies is going to be important to make sure you're up to date on your rabies vaccine. That's going to be the biggest one. And now that some of the restrictions have relaxed, and it's been nice that we're spending more time outside. Heartworm preventative, your Lyme's vaccine for your dogs. I think all those things are going to be important.
Okay. And you guys, you guys are still kind of doing the social distance. The way to see the vet. Do you guys have any plans on changing that over? And have you talked with other veterinarians in the area and what they're doing?
From my understanding, we're pretty much all doing it the same that I know of right now. I think the plans are, we're following the CDC recommendations. I'm kind of waiting to see what the CDC recommends as far as when can we be all together again.
Okay. And I know I've sent you this, so every time a story pops up, a tiger in New York got the coronavirus, and I think a couple of cats have gotten it. Did you end up, were you able to kind of dive into some of that information? And can we give coronavirus to our pets, and can our pets give coronavirus to us?
So it's a great question. We have the possibility of giving it to our pets. Dogs are much more resistant to it than cats. Cats, we can get it from cats, but cats show a very, very mild case of it. Kind of like having a mild cold is what they're going to show. But there's been nothing to show that it goes the other way from cat to people.
Okay. And it's been, well, and it's been cats mostly, right? Not dogs at all, really.
Yeah, not many dogs. Dogs, from the studies that are out there, and once again, there's still a lot to be learned. We're learning a lot for us, but there's even more to be learned for our pets. But right now, the dogs seem to be fairly resistant to the COVID virus.
Okay, maybe we should take some, maybe we should figure out what the dogs are doing right so that we can we can take advantage.
We get to all take it.
All right, and so, okay, beyond that, I know you guys have, you know, every veterinary clinic I've gone to in my life always has funny animals or cute little, you know, kind of office cats or something. And you guys have, I forgot his name already, but you guys have your own, well, you have multiple office cats, but you have a special one. What's his name again? Like Thunder or something like that?
Turbo.
Turbo, you're right. All right, can you, yeah, and Turbo is, can you just tell the story of Turbo because it's just a great story.
Yeah, sure. So Turbo's about 15 and a half now. When he was a kitten, he was found on Highway 14 outside of La Crosse, hit by a car, had a fractured back. And we have to keep our pets for when they're found hit by cars or strays. We have to keep them for 7 days to look for an owner. And this guy, even though he couldn't walk, had such a personality that we decided to keep him. And the first few years, he managed to pull himself around, and then we gave him like a little skateboard. He was taped onto a skateboard or Velcroed onto a skateboard, and now we've got him in a little commercially made wheelchair type thing that he can pull himself around with.
Yeah, because his back legs don't work, right? His front legs work okay?
Correct. His front legs, yeah. His front legs work fine. He's got a fracture of his back right behind the last rib, so he can't use that. But yeah, he's able to pull himself around with his front legs.
So he was in a skateboard, like when he was really energetic and stuff. Is that like how big is a skateboard? Did you make a skateboard for him?
So, yeah, we had one of our clients make us a skateboard that he would fit on. We've actually had a bunch of designs. At one time, Dr. Thompson had some students working on it, and they had a design made for him that he fit into. It's kind of evolved over the 15 years.
Yeah. And now he's 15 and a half years old. Do you, how has his health been the last, you know, lately, I guess. I know he rests in his bed quite a bit.
So he does a lot, you know, he does a lot of sleeping. Before, he used to be in and out and around. And now, because of 15 years of pulling himself around with his front legs, a little bit of arthritis at the elbows, and he's 15. He sleeps a lot more than what he did before.
Yeah, nobody can blame him for that. And obviously, that's probably the most interesting animal you've ever had. But is there a number two? Do you have a number two in the rankings?
Just a
silly animal that maybe you guys have had in there that you've had to take care of, or you know, that's been an office pet.
Just a couple weeks ago, I seen a 6-gram frog.
A 6-gram frog? Why is that? What do you mean?
A dart frog had an infection on its back.
Okay, so somebody had like a pet frog, huh?
Yes, pet frog, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, probably.
So that's a different question. What are maybe some of the weirder things that you've seen come through the clinic?
That was probably my smallest thing, but, you know, I get to see some of the reptiles, so, I mean, I get to see some of the snakes and lizards. Those types of things are probably the more unusual things that I tend to see. Just last fall, Dr. Hyde seen a monkey.
Okay, so is it even legal to have? That was my next question. Have you ever gotten a call for animal care and that person actually shouldn't have an animal like that?
We get a few calls that they shouldn't have, yes, and we usually will tell them that we won't see them unless it's illegal to have.
Okay, so do you report them then, or what do you do?
No, we just advise them that I can't see him because we can't have the pet.
Okay, so what about monkeys? Can you have a monkey?
I don't know the lacrosse ordinance on monkeys. So all the ordinances differ on what you can and can't have.
Okay. We'll have to have Gary Podesky call us back and ask us if we can have pet monkeys. Gary, thanks a lot for joining us today. And, you know, like I said, you said to get rabies vaccines, but people shouldn't feel like they don't have to push these things off anymore, right? They can, you know, call your vet and get your animals in there. There's no time to waste, right?
So, especially some of the stuff that they can get sick from. Now we're starting to open things back up as curbside. As long as you're comfortable with hanging out in the car, letting us run them in and have them take a look at and get their vaccines, yeah, I would recommend going in and getting things done now.
I think if somebody brought their kid and their pet in, you could just give them the push mower, right, and just have them push mow that backyard you have too as well.
Yes, that would be nice.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot for joining me.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
All right, see ya. Gary Weigel, he's a veterinarian at Thompson's Animal Medical Center on the south side, just in front of the Walmart there, just to the right. So I take Millie there, and I've seen Turbo in the office. I went in there on a Sunday when they were closed and got to check out, hang out with Turbo a little bit. He's super cute. I can't believe he's 15 and a half years old. But all right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Wayne Botner. He's the blood guy at Gunderson Health System. He's technically, though, he's the medical director of the blood bank. And we're going to talk about the need for blood and how that's roller coastered the last couple of months, right? A couple of weeks. We'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. Just talked to Gary Weigel at the Thompson's Medical Clinic on the south side, Thompson's Animal Medical Center. I did get a text from Ben that said, can my dogs get dysentery from drinking all this swamp water? And Gary texted me back because I didn't see this text till I hung up on him. But Gary says that your dog cannot get dysentery. That's a people thing. But they can get diarrhea, and you have to be careful of blue-green algae, because if they drink that, they get that in their system. And we've talked about that last summer, and we might talk about that on Thursday as well with the DNR. But that can cause liver failure. So if your dog gets into that blue-green algae. Okay, so we'll go from animal medical stuff to people medical stuff. Wayne Botner, the medical director of the blood bank at Gunderson Health System, on with me. How's it going, Wayne?
Quite well. Thanks, Mike.
This is Rick, by the way. Mike's in the morning, but that's okay. He's only been here like 20 more years than me. So, all right. So I got this email about the fact that it seems like, and just from talking to you, it seems like the blood banks have been on a little bit of a roller coaster, maybe like everybody, right? The last couple of months through this pandemic, you were talking like the blood supply was too high, too low, too high, too low. And right now it's really too very, very low, right?
That's correct. And just to give you a little bit of background, even in the best of times, the margin between what we're able to collect and what hospitals need to take care of their patients is really quite slim. So, and we're very dependent on people donating all the time to keep the blood supply healthy. The COVID pandemic really threw a monkey wrench into the works for a lot of reasons. It made a lot of people frightened about going in to donate because they were worried they might get infected themselves. And probably more important than that, a lot of businesses and schools were shut down because of the pandemic, and that's where a lot of blood drives actually take place. You know, you might think that we collect all the blood that gets collected at hospitals, but that's not actually true. People go to churches, they go to their place of business. Students are a huge source of donations for us, and that all shut down virtually overnight when there was a concern that there might be a big wave of hospitalizations and people being sick with COVID. So we've been in a pretty tight situation for blood of all types now for a couple of weeks. That we're heading into the season of the year when we typically have the most trouble staying ahead of need, because the weather's great, people are out doing things and aren't as motivated to donate, number one, but because they're out enjoying themselves, there are more people who come in after a trauma or one thing or another and need blood. And probably our time of greatest need is the 4th of July holiday. And I was just talking to people at the blood center today. Some of what we're collecting now is in hopes of helping to get us through 4th of July. That's how far in advance they need to plan. Go ahead.
Just talking to you earlier, you said it's not like you could just get this blood and put it in a freezer, a fridge, or whatever, and keep it forever. Blood has a little bit of a shelf life?
A shelf life, yes. Red blood cells, when we collect them from a patient, and that's what we use the most of, because it's the red cells that carry oxygen around the body and keep people alive. They've only got a shelf life of about 42 days in a refrigerator. So we constantly have to be replenishing that supply. The other factor that plays into this is different people have different blood types. So we also have to make sure we collect enough blood to cover all of the different types of blood, which is why we make appeals to particular people. The best example being people who are type O negative. That's our universal donor blood type. They can give blood that can be used by anybody. And actually, that's one of the types right now that's in the shortest supply.
Okay.
A big deal. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just say we're talking to Dr. Wayne Botner at Gunderson Health System, the medical director at the blood bank there. Okay, so in terms of getting blood to the blood banks, you're having two blood drives essentially, right? On Thursday from from 12:30 to 5:30, and then on Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Right. Again, and there are also several more drives in June. And if people are interested in signing up, probably the simplest way to get in touch with the blood center is to call this number. It's 877-BE-A-HERO.
Okay.
B-E-A-H-E-R-O.
Okay.
Whatever the numbers are.
Yeah, that's
correspond to.
I think that's easy enough. Be a hero. 877-BE-A-HERO. And you guys have, obviously, you're going to have these blood drives going, the next two coming up. And you have to make an appointment, right? Like, you can't just show up?
You do. It's best. Yes, you do have to make an appointment. They will guide someone to their website to show them how they can sign up for a specific date and time to donate. Just to clarify, some blood drives are strictly for employees at one or the other of the health organizations, and some are open to anybody in the public. So it's best to check the website. I call the number, and they'll help you check the website and find out when is the best time for you to donate.
Okay, and this might even be a employee-only blood drive now that I'm looking at it. But you guys have blood drives June 2nd and June 11th, too, as well, which might be
right.
For the general public. So you guys, you're having your own little blood drive. And it's interesting that blood life has, what'd you say, type O negative? Is that what you said was the universal one?
That's the universal donor blood type. And we don't want to get into why it is. Just suffice it to say, it is, and it's type O blood. People with type O blood make up almost half of the population.
Oh,
but
really?
O negative blood is a much smaller percentage.
Oh, okay.
So we really rely heavily on those folks.
Well, and I know this is, when you give plasma, you get certain money. You get I don't know how much money you get when you donate plasma. Donating blood is a donation, right? There's no, I mean, you get cookies, right? Cookies and orange juice. I think that's how that works. Is there any?
You get cookies, Yeah, in the old days, you used to get a hug. In the COVID era, we have to forego the hug, but we'll bring it back as soon as the pandemic's over.
Has there ever been such a shortage where they've had, at some point in time, had to, hey, you know, we will pay you to give blood, or maybe if somebody had that type O negative, we need that so badly that we will pay you to come and give blood?
No, we do not do that, and there are reasons why the blood supply is not as safe if you pay people to donate, because people with health issues that they might not be aware of or not want anybody to know about are more incentivized to donate, and that's not helpful for the blood supply. So we've always relied purely on volunteer donations, and it's worked very well.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, running the blood bank at Gunderson for 20 years, and I've never run into a situation where we absolutely did not have blood to give somebody who really needed it.
Okay.
So I guess that's another point I would make, is at the hospital end, we're working very hard to make sure we don't use any blood that isn't absolutely necessary, so that we can help maintain enough of a margin between what we need and what's out there to be supplied. It works from both ends. The blood center is doing a good job of trying to find donors for us, and we're trying to do a good job of not using any blood we don't absolutely need to.
Sure. Okay. So, and then you were talking, like, now the need for blood is really high. A couple of weeks ago, it was just the opposite. When everything kind of shut down, did you have to end up throwing blood out? Or I don't even know how you would do that. How do you dispose of blood?
Well, we didn't. It can be disposed of. But no, we did not have to throw blood away. There was a fear that too much blood might accumulate, because there was an emergency appeal made and people came out of the woodwork to donate. But then hospitals shut down all of their elective surgeries, which made the demand for blood get very low. But that didn't last very long, and hospitals are ramping back up now because COVID has not overwhelmed our hospitals in our area, and we're able to do the things we've always done, but now we've got to catch up on the supply side.
Okay. Yeah, are you, like, stressed out all the time because you're playing with such a thin margin, like, because you don't want to bring in too much and you don't want any of it to go to waste, and then at some point, oh, no, we need more? I don't know. Is it a pretty stressful job?
Well, I wouldn't call it stressed. I'd say I'm very focused. It's like being up at the plate and somebody can throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. If you're not paying attention the whole time, you can strike out in a hurry. Don't get me wrong. The job has its stresses, but we know ultimately at the end of the day, what we spend our time doing is doing good for people, and that makes it all worthwhile, really.
You said you've been doing this, Wayne. You've been doing this for 20 years. In your time, and maybe before that, I'm sure you were involved in some way or the other. And in this time, has this been the weirdest or the weirdest thing that has happened? Obviously, a global pandemic is probably unprecedented at any time. But what would you say ranks number two with, just in terms of something strange happening where you guys had to scramble?
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, I've been doing blood banking for 20 years, but I've been taking care of patients for 36 years, and there's nothing that compares with this, even close. I'm having trouble thinking of something that I would even put in the same category, because COVID didn't just disrupt the blood supply and, what we're doing. It disrupted everything that we do in healthcare, and just the way it has disrupted everything about people's lives. We've all had to make a huge adjustment, and it's an adjustment we've had to make virtually overnight because of how rapidly the whole thing progressed. So, there have been other shortages, but nothing that comes close to this. Okay. And I think another thing people should be aware of, we'll get through this shortage, but because we don't know the future with COVID and how long this is going to play out, I think most of us think the blood supply is going to ebb and flow much more than it has historically. And we've all got to be prepared to continue donating on the supply side and continue being careful about usage on the demand side.
All right.
So again, it's, yeah.
No, I was just say again, that number to schedule, to find out where and when the blood drives are going to be, 877 Be a Hero. That's Gunderson, or is that more of a general blood bank drive line?
No, that is the number for Versity, the blood center who supplies all of our blood in La Crosse.
Okay. So anyone anywhere can call that line.
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll pick up the phone if you call.
They'll pick up the phone. They'll direct you to the next to where and when you can donate blood. Wayne Botner, the medical director of the blood bank at Gunderson Health System, thanks a lot for joining me.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to wrap up after this right here on WISDOM. All right, welcome back to Crosstalk PM. Just a couple minutes left here in the show. Thanks to Gary Weigel and at the Thompson Animal Medical Center on the south side there, and to Wayne Botner, medical director at the blood bank at Gunderson Health System, for coming on today and talking about two kind of different things, both dealing with a pandemic like we all are. I did have a question. A caller did call during the break and asked about the National Guard reporting. So, La Crosse Health Department, La Crosse County Health Department, did that National Guard test last week, and they put a note on their Facebook page: "We are beginning to see test results from the National Guard testing site that was done May 21st. We will continue to provide any positive test results from that site in our daily case count. We will do an overview when all the testing results have come in and we have had time to compile that data." So they haven't had time. The idea was it was going to be done in 24 to 48 hours. And obviously that's what the caller said. I thought it was going to be a couple of days. So I guess be patient. Maybe it's business days. If it's five business days, then they have till Thursday, right? If we're giving them five business days, they take the weekends off too, like the rest of us, right? All right, that's all the time I got for today. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow.